All right, good to see y'all in the house of the Lord this morning. And if you hear a funny sounding noise, my stomach's been rumbling this morning. I don't know what it is. Like I'm hungry, but surely I'm not hungry as much as I eat. But anyway, so if you hear a funny noise, you know, just kind of keep the laughter down just a little bit. So, because I'm sure it'll be funny. But anyway, we're going to be looking in Matthew Chapter 16, as where my Sunday school lesson has been, and we're going to kind of stick there, and I'll kind of bring you up to speed on where we're at and kind of look at a few things. Then there'll be a few things that, you know, we hadn't mentioned in Sunday school that just, you know, the Lord's given me to say this morning. So we'll go to chapter 16. And first of all, we'll ask the Lord to bless His Word. Our dear, kind, gracious, righteous Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to You this morning just to thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, just want to thank You for Your Word, and Lord, just pray that You'll bless it, Lord God. Just help me, Lord, to be able to read it and to be able to present it, Lord, as You would have it, Lord. And just open the ears and hearts of these people, Lord, that's in before You, Lord, that they'll be able to apply it to their lives, Lord God, and myself, Lord God. You said that you'll teach us in that hour what we ought to say, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, You just teach me this morning, Lord, what I ought to say, Lord, that it'll be the right thing, Lord, that, you know, You said to let our speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt, that we may know how we ought to answer every man. Lord God, let my speech this morning be with salt, Lord God, that it will savor, Lord, that it will be able to preserve, Lord, that it will be able to help us as we go out into the world, Lord God, that we'll be able to live closer lives to Thee, Lord, that others will see Christ in our life. Lord God, I just pray that You just direct my thoughts this morning, Lord God. And Lord, just help us. You said we're two or more gathered together in Your name. You said there are You in the midst of them. Be in our midst in a mighty way, Lord God, this morning. And just be with us as we leave and keep us safe. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to kind of lay some groundwork, get you on, start with verse 13. Just kind of let you know what had just happened and what had happened with Peter. But the verse we'll be concentrating on will be verse 24. And Lord willing, if we get there. But anyway, we'll start with verse 13. It says, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth began Jesus to show His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from Thee, Lord, this shall not be unto Thee. You know, I just got to stop here for just a second, just to remind us, Lord, that, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to understand that when Jesus says something, that's it. You know, we're not supposed to deny it in any kind of way. But sometimes our lives deny it. Sometimes, you know, He'll tell us, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and our life is not true. Our life does not show that Christ lives in us. But we deny Him. Same way Peter said here, He rebuked him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee," right after he got through saying, "This must happen." This, he says, he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the priests, the scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. So these are things that must happen. And, you know, Peter's saying that, no, this is not to be, but he's like having pity on God. He's having pity on Christ, you know. And as we read on down, he just got through telling Peter, well, we'll back up a little bit. He just got through telling Peter, you know, "Thou hast answered well." He just got through saying that, you know, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that the flesh had not revealed this to him, but God had revealed this to him. You know, so here he is talking to his disciple, telling him, you know, it's like a pat on the back. That's a good answer. That's right. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. And a lot of times we're that way. We'll get kind of, uppity, I guess you would call it. You know, we're saying, well, you know, I'm studying. I'm getting the right answers. It's all coming together. I know what it's saying. And then we'll turn right around and do something to shame God. You know, and that's what Peter done right here. Because read in verse 23, he says, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me." And anytime you say or do or any act in a way that is displeasing to God, you're an offense unto God. You know, and basically you're saying that you're showing the world that you're not of God. He said, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." You know, if we always examine ourselves, you know, he says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be of the faith. Know not yourselves that Jesus Christ lives in you, lest you be reprobate." So if we examine ourselves, examine our motives, examine our thoughts, examine everything that we do before we do it and before we say it, you know, then we won't have to have Jesus looking at us the way he did Peter here, saying, you know, that thou savorest the things of men and not the things of God. But we want to savor the things of God, and we want to study and meditate on them. And as we get into the next verse, you know, we'll get to understanding that a little bit better. It says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Like I said, that's going to be our focus this morning, but we're going to read on down because there's several verses that'll tell us basically the same thing. But he tells us over and over this because there's so much importance here. All right, and verse 25 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Get a few of my notes here straight. I had them marking places, but I said, well, we're going to be on even ground. If y'all have to look it up, I've got to look it up. All right. Last week in my Sunday school lesson, we were looking at the word come. We got that far in verse 24. We're going to go back and read verse 24. I'll make a few little statements about it and kind of bring us up to where we are. Brother Joey told me just to teach my Sunday school lesson, but, you know, I may vary from that just a little bit. All right, verse 24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And I thought about, you know, here he talks of any man will come after me. And he just got through talking to Peter, and Peter had done a good thing, and then Peter turned around and done something terrible. You know, and we think about our lives. If any man will come unto me, all right, well, we've come unto God. We have, you know, those who claim the name of Christ, those who claim to be Christians, we have come unto Christ, and we're claiming His name, we're focusing on living closer unto Him, you know, and our life should reflect it. And then we make a mistake. He says, if any man will come unto me, let him deny himself. You know, I'm not going to get real far into deny himself, because each, last few weeks, several weeks, Brother Lamar has put in our bulletin a lot about self-denial. And, you know, and, with John Calvin and, the study he had on it, and it's real in depth, and, I could never get that deep into it, but, what I want to look at this morning is verses leading up to self-denial. But it all goes hand in hand, though. You can't come unto Christ unless you deny yourself. You can't take up His cross unless you've denied yourself. And you sure can't follow Christ unless you deny yourself. So self-denial is in control of all of it. You know, and you can't deny yourself unless God puts it in you to do so. You know, I'm going to read just a little bit out of a little pamphlet that I've got here, and it kind of leads up to where we're at. It talks about developing the theme of this verse. He says, if any. And when he talks about if any, you know, we heard the song, Omer Christian Soldier. He says, if you look at the word any, he's talking about those who will join the army of Christ, those who will enlist in this army, those who will become children of God. He says, if any, you know, will choose. And we're going to get into a few minutes about how you can choose, you know. But he says, if any will choose, if any will join, if any will signify that they're completely committed to Christ. Then after he says, if any, he says, if any will. You got to look at the will there. You know, it's not your own will, really. It's God's will. It's God's will that puts it in you to do so. But here he says the Greek is very emphatic, signifying that this is not only the consent of the will, but this is a full purpose of heart. It says it is a determined resolution. And if we think about it, you know, when you commit to God, he says that we are to do it, you know, he says, love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You know, so when you come to Christ, this is how you come, with all your soul, with all your might, with everything that is within you, you know, you commit to Christ. And if you can't come with that full commitment, you can't come. You know, and this, we're going to hear about this in a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and start it with the word come. We got to the word come last week. Anyway, this is Arthur Pink is the one who had this little pamphlet here. And like I said, I refer to it a lot because it outlined it so good. But anyway, he says when he gets to come after, he says, come after me as a servant, as a servant subject to his master, a scholar his teacher, a soldier his captain. He said, this is the way we are to come to Christ. All right. I was just looking up the word come and kind of picking and choosing for, you know, I couldn't at all go through all the verses, but I looked at the ones that really showed an outline of coming to Christ. I'm going to start. You don't have to turn to each one of these. I've got them all wrote down here, but Joshua 24:15 says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, so here is a choice you have to make, whether you're going to choose God or you're going to choose a God that you're already serving before you're saved, which is usually self. Now, yourself is going to be God. You're going to serve a lot of people. Their possessions are their gods. You know, they may have a big house or a big car or a fast car or it could be anything that gets more attention than God. You know, he tells us to pray always, pray continuous, and pray without ceasing. And this is continuous meditation on God. He says, meditate on my word day and night. You know, he says to write it upon your doorpost. He tells you to write it in your heart, to write it, you know. And if we really dedicate our lives to God, this is what we're going to do. We're going to think about His Word. Looking at choosing Him and thinking about His Word, I got to thinking about, you know, how do you know His Word in order to be able to meditate on it? How can you meditate on it all day if you don't have the Bible with you? Well, there He says, you know, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I quote that a lot because I have to quote that a lot because I have to tell myself that. You know, He tells us to examine ourselves, whether we be of the faith. Well, when you examine yourselves, do you have the word in you? It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. Well, how do you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly if you don't read it, if you don't know it, if you don't meditate on it, if you ain't got some in you? You know, you can't draw from a well if there's no water in there. You know, and He is the living water. But anyway, I got to thinking about that and meditating on that, you know, and how that to come to God, you know, if you read in Romans, in chapter 10, he tells us, you know, how that, you know, you're saved by faith, but you're saved, you know, through the Word. You got to hear the Word or read the Word, or He's going to give you the Word. Even nature itself expresses there's a God, you know. And when we look to that and we think about, I saw a commercial or show or something the other day talking about about the universes and how many were out there and how many they were developing some kind of, telescope that could really explore the other universes to find another planet compatible with Earth, you know. And what made me, it was a show, I remember now, it was called I think Understanding Exodus or something, and I thought it was going to be about the Bible, so I started watching it, and then it had absolutely nothing to do with Exodus. It was talking about planets and stuff. Anyway, I got to watching some of that, and it got to, you know, showing me how that people think that, one of the comments they made, is there another planet populated like this? You know, and it's just because they don't read the Bible. They don't understand the Bible. They don't know that, you know, what we know about what the Bible says. But anyway, we have to read it as we come to Him. Going back to the word come, He says, Romans chapter 3 and verse 11 says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Well, you know, He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But He tells you that none seeketh after God. That's in their own strength. That's before God starts to work in them, before God touches them, before God, you know, you hear your parents praying for their children. You hear, you pray for your friends. You pray for your loved ones. You pray that God will save them, you know. And that's because without God starting to work, they won't come to Him. You know, so God has to begin that work. But here He says, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. And like I said, if you are your own God, you're not going to seek after the true and the living God. Because you're satisfied with yourself. You know, because you don't want to do, I forget who it was talking about, loving yourself, you know. He says, I remember now, it was a guy talking about loving thy neighbor as thyself. He said, you're going to love yourself, you know. But before Christ, that's all you loved was yourself, you know. Because before Christ, you loved yourself and not God. You were enmity against God. You hated God. You didn't realize you hated it. A lot of people, you know, they'll go to church when they're not saved and they hate God. You know, but they don't realize they hate God. All they realize is, I want to hurry up and get out of here so I can go do this. Hurry up and get out of here so I can go do that, you know. But they want to say, oh, I went to church, you know. They're churched instead of going to church to serve the true and the living God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 says that he that cometh to God must believe that He is and the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's one of my favorite verses because of the two words, He is. They must believe that He is. You know, and when you get to looking at that, you say, He is what? He is everything. If you are fully committed to Him, I mean, if you committed your life to Him and know that He is your God and fully indwell what God is, you say, He is. He is the beginner. He is the author. He is the finisher of the faith. He is the Omega. He is the Alpha. You know, He is everything. And then when we really bring that to light and understand that, that's when we can really commit ourselves to Him. And when we do, it says, He that cometh to God. So He's saying you're coming to God. He's already begun a work in you and you're coming to Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He's everything. All right, because it says that He is and the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You have to diligently seek Him when you come to Him. You know, you can't do it half-heartedly or you're not doing it at all. Isaiah 55:1 says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And here he's talking about when you're coming to Christ, you know, Christ has already paid the price. He paid the penalty for sin. When you come to Christ, you know, a lot of people say, well, I've got to give up this. I've got to give up that. I've got to stop doing this. Stop doing this and stop doing this. And, you know, they go on down the line. And they say, you know, I'm having to give up too much. You're not giving up anything when you accept Christ as your Savior. You're gaining the world. You're gaining everything because He is. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And people think of rewards, when they don't know Christ, they think of rewards as things, as physical things. But when He says He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, you're getting more and more of Christ, and that's all you really want. All right, John 6:44 says that no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the verse I was alluding to earlier, you know, how that you can't even come to Christ unless the Father draw you. All right, it says no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So God has to draw you before you come to Christ. He says, and I will raise him up in the last day because you are then one of His. You were drawn of God. You made a choice. You chose Christ. You served Him. You fully committed. And you are truly pressing on toward that mark, the prize of the high calling of God. You're pressing on like Brother Joey is talking about. You know, in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 24, says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, you know, you got that where a lot of them call it once saved, always saved. And I believe that if it's true salvation. If you're truly saved, you know, and you're pressing on and you go on to live for God and you're, you know, have that perseverance, you're pressing, you know, you're just constantly living for God. You're going on. You're living the life of a Christian. You know, I believe once saved, always saved. But here he's showing you, just because you come to Christ, you made a profession, if you go back out and live into the world, you were none of His. Because the next verse, like I said, here he says, it's not him, it's not everyone that calls on the Lord, but it's everyone that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out many devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. So here he's telling them, you know, you made a profession, but it was not for real. You didn't commit. You didn't fully make God your God. You just come and done something to be seen of men and went back out into the world living in iniquity. Because he says here, you know, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. So you worked iniquity instead of doing the will of the Father which is in heaven. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly. And I thought about this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And we think about what we wanted to get to was the cross today. You know, taking up your cross and following Him. But when you take up your cross, you know, you're putting on that yoke. That yoke is a sign of labor. But it's a labor that's going to be easy. He's going to tell us in a minute, you know, because He makes it easy that way. But He makes it, but you've got to make that choice to do it. You know, He tells us that it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. But you have to walk. You have to take that step. You have to run that race. You have to press toward the mark. You have to constantly focus on Christ. You know, makes me think about Peter. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Hold on. Anyway, he tells us that I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what I was talking about just a second ago. It says, my burden is light, you know, and my yoke is easy. But when you think of the yoke, you think of the oxen. He's out pulling the plow. He's doing hard labor. Man, we're going to work for God. It's going to be labor. But we got to remember that yoke is easy and that burden is light when you have Christ as the focus. Christ as the, motive for it and not yourself. If self is the motive, it's going to be hard labor for nothing. All right. Matthew 14:29 says, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. This is what I was going to point to just a minute ago about how Peter, you know, he said, if you be Christ, bid me to come. And he said, come. And Peter stepped out on the water, you know, that he had to step. That's a choice he had to make. And with us, you know, if we're pressing on for God, a lot of times we're going to have to make choices to press on, to step, to continue on and not to look back, not to look to the world, you know, and here in this instant, Peter stepped out on the water, started towards Jesus, said the winds got boisterous. The winds started getting up. The waves started getting up. The circumstances started changing. And in your life, when you step out for Christ, people's going to get ugly with you. The wind, the war, there's where it's going to come in at. People's going to start making fun of you. People's going to start, you know, doing everything they can to keep you from following Christ. But you have to press on. You have to keep looking. And here Peter, you know, he was focused on Christ, but when the winds got boisterous, he looked away and began to sink. Anytime you look away, anytime you turn your head, anytime you take your focus off of Christ, you're going to backslide or you're going to start to sink. And you know, if you're a true child of God, you know, Jesus says that, you know, those backsliders, he said, I will heal their backsliding. And because when you're backsliding, you're in sin. And sin is a sickness, you know, and Christ heals us from that sickness. He says that if we, you know, ask forgiveness of our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and all unrighteousness. All right. I'm going to read this verse again and kind of move on a little bit. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And we looked at, if any man, the will, and to come, and, think about, you know, and after me, and him only, focusing on Christ, and Christ alone. It says, let him deny himself. Like I said, Brother Lamar has been real good about putting the articles in the bulletin about self-denial. And if we read each one of them, you know, you get a full understanding of what self-denial is. And understanding that you have to fully, completely deny yourself. Now, you'll have to come to Sunday school the rest of the month to hear all of this, but, looking at self-denial, you have to remember, I'm just going to read some of the headings, is, sin is in the love of self, so the desire and determination to have our own way. It says that, for a man to utterly deny himself, is to completely renounce his own wisdom. And there's so many verses that tell us, you know, that that we're to look to God's wisdom and not our own. All through Proverbs, just to mention a few here, he's got Matthew 18:3, Isaiah 5:21, Romans 1:22. And each one of these are telling us, you know, like I said, the rest of the month we're going to be looking, Lord willing, concentrating on this little pamphlet here. But there's four or five more verses where he tells us, you know, not to rely on our own wisdom, but God's wisdom. And he says, For a man to utterly deny himself, he is to completely renounce his own strength. You know, we have to remember it's not my strength, but his strength. You know, and we have to remember that we can do nothing within ourselves, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, so we're renouncing our own strength and remembering it's all Christ's strength. It says, for a man to deny himself is to completely renounce his own will. And you remember, it's not my will, but thy will be done. You know, we're not here to please ourselves, but to please Christ, to honor him. Then it uses a big word here. It talks about self-abnegation. And that is, you're not your own, but you are bought with a price. You know, in other words, Jesus died on the cross for us. You know, even though we're to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him, and constantly commit to him, you know, he actually went through with the death of the cross. And we gotta remember just how agonizing that was, and all that he went through, and who did he do it for? The ungodly. Us. The ones that hated him, the ones that that sent him to the cross. All right, and another point they have here is, says, for a man to utterly deny himself is to completely renounce his own lust or fleshly desires. And it gives several verses here. He talks about 2 Timothy 3:2. Says they're lovers of their own selves. But the one who has been regenerated by the Spirit says with Job that I am vile. You know, he admits just how he said, I abhor myself. He's saying that, well, I see myself as just awful when I'm not in Christ's relationship, when I'm not doing the will of God, but I'm doing things of the flesh. You know, then I see myself as awful. I see myself as bad. And each one of us, as we walk with Christ, as we deny ourselves, as we, you know, take up our cross and follow Christ, you're going to make mistakes. And if you say you never made a mistake, you know, you're up there with Christ, you know, because Christ never made a mistake. Christ never sinned, not the first time. He said in all points, he was faithful. But I make mistakes. And I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to admit, you know, and you know how we know we make mistakes? We compare it with God's word. This is our mirror. You know, before this mirror, God's Bible, before his word was our mirror, we looked in the mirror at ourselves because that's what we wanted to see. But now we want to look at this mirror and see Christ and try to follow that example and try to look like that. All right, it says, the denial of self, which Christ requires from all his followers, is to be universal. In other words, you can't have one Christian says he denies himself and another Christian says he don't deny himself. You know, it has to be universal. It has to be all the children of God. And here he gets, you know, it's where he talks about us being of one accord, being the same, being like-minded, being having the mind of Christ. All right. I missed some of the things I wanted to point out about coming to Christ, but we may look at that in Sunday school. Anyway, taking up his cross in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 39, talks about basically the same thing we was reading here about taking up the cross, but I'm going to read several of these. I've got a few of these and just make just very short comments and kind of get you up to speed here. Chapter 10. Start with verse 37. It says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So he's telling us, he's giving us an outline here of anything you put before Christ is your God. You're putting that, says you're not worthy of Christ if that is your God, if that is more important than him. He's not saying that you're not to love your father, you're not to love your mother, you're not to love your daughter or sister or brother, or, you know, he's telling us, you're to love them, but you're to love me more. You know, you're to put me above all things. In verse 39, he says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I'm going to stop. I could read on down, but to let you know that, you know, if your life is more important than his life, then you're none of his. You're not counting the cost. You got to remember that you got to give up your life in order to gain him. You know, like Paul was saying, you know, he says, everything that I've accomplished is dung, is as rubbish. You know, he said, but to gain Christ is all, you know, and that's all we look to. In Luke chapter 14, starting verse 26 through 35, he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his whole life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. In other words, he didn't count the cost. He didn't, like those who professed God's name, those who said, Lord, Lord, but they went back into the world and denied him. They didn't count the cost that they're to commit their life to God, that they are to sacrifice all for his glory. And that, worldly speaking, that seems like a hard thing to do. Give up everything and follow Christ. But when you give up everything and follow Christ, the burden is taken off. You know, that is when you can relax and say, praise the Lord in all things. All right, I'm not going to read this on down. I'm going to go to the next verse. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34... through 38. All right. It says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose this life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You know, and I like the way he put it here. You know, for my sake and the gospel's. A lot of times, you know, it's going to be a choice between being ashamed of the gospel or being ashamed of God. You know, a lot of times we'll say, well, the gospel says this, you know, and we got to stand on it because that's the truth. And that, you know, if we're not standing on it, then we're putting the world before God. And he said that's when he talks about, you know, if you don't give up your life for him, you lose it. But if you do give up for your life for him, you save it. And verse 36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I'm just going to stop right there and move on a little bit to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. All right, we'll just start reading there. I may go to verse 27, but we'll see. Verse 23 says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And I thought about that. The reason I put this in there, you know, each one of them is telling us basically the same thing about deny yourself, come after me, Take up your cross daily and follow him. You know, this is the Christian life. This is what we have to do when we profess his name. But here, he adds the word daily. And I like that because it says, take up his cross daily. And Brother Lamar was talking about in Romans chapter 5, you know, about all the, to count it joy, you know. And I think in James it talks about all the things that we go through to count it all joy as we go through it. You know, and as we go through these things, we've got to remember we'll take up our cross daily, even though it's painful, even though it's a struggle. Taking up your cross, you got to think what Jesus went through. He carried that cross all the way to Calvary, all the way to the, till he had to die on the cross. He had to carry it. And it was a struggle. It was agonizing. It was, you know, it was not something easy. People think of, take up my cross. It's not, what's that? They made little airplanes out of balsa wood. It wasn't balsa wood. It wasn't real light and easy. You just tote around one hand. You know, he had to struggle to carry it up there. And each one of us, as we press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God, as we press on and continue on in the faith, you know, we're going to struggle. We're going to have a struggle. And if we're not having a struggle, we need to check our life out because we're probably friends of the world. And he says, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of Christ. You know, and that's the reason, you know, if you're with Christ, then the world's enmity against you and God, because they're already enmity against God. You know, so he's telling us, if, you know, take up your cross, it's going to be a struggle. Do it daily. Deny yourself. Just forget about self. Focus on Christ. And you'll press on to win the prize of the high calling of God. The rest of it talks about the same thing that Luke and Matthew said. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. I'm going to stop right there and... Let's see, Mark chapter 10, verse 17, and then I'm going to get to our close in just a minute. It says, and when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest me thou good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. He said, all these I have observed from my youth. And we think about the world. There's so many in the world who they know the Ten Commandments and they try to, you know, pick and choose which ones they're going to do, but they'll do one excellent. They'll say, well, you know, I don't lie or I don't steal or I don't, you know, commit adultery or I don't, you know, and they're good about that one point, but they're not doing it for Christ. They're doing it for self. So they can say, look, I was faithful in this one point. But if you're unfaithful in one point, you're unfaithful in all. You know. And only Christ can keep you, can save you from that. But anyway, here he says, you know, just like the world does, you know, I've done all these from my youth up. But did he do it for Christ? Or did he do it to say, look at me? He done it to say, look at me. But verse 21 says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me. He said, and the next verse says, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He didn't go away to sell his possessions. He didn't go away to do what Christ told him to do. He went away because that was his God. And he was having to give up his God. You know, his God was his possessions and not Jesus himself. All right. In closing, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. And we'll read through verse 21. It says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." All right, these are those who are false prophets. These are those who profess the name of Christ, but they don't live it. Profess the name of Christ, but have no intentions of living for Christ. All right, he says, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." All they think about is possessions, things that are mine, things that, you know, that the world have. That's what they look to their God. That's what they look to for glory, instead of looking to Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, and he's telling us the difference. Here's the difference. You got a world who's, all they look to is things that can make them look good. And then you have Christians who their conversation is in heaven. They look to Jesus Christ for their conversation. You know, and that's the way we should do. We should always do. And verse 21 says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself?" So we know that Christ subdued all things unto himself, for of him and to him, through him are all things, to whom be glory. So everything that was and will be created, God created. And it's for his own glory. And here he tells us that, you know, if we focus on him and press to the prize of the calling of God, we know that he's going to change our vile body into a body fashioned like his. And that, and it'll be according to the works of God, who was able to subdue all things unto himself. All right, well, I'm going to stop right here, and I appreciate y'all's attention, and I just thank God for the opportunity and hope that you got a little something out of it. I know I read about like a first grader, but it's not about me. It's about God's Word. So let's pray that you got a little something out of it.